All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 will be our text tonight. Like any other preacher, when you run into things constantly, it's not long and a message begins to develop. You run into the same kind of talk or the same kind of problems or the same kind of needs. And God begins to allow you to meditate on that, think about that, and pretty soon you feel the leadership of the Spirit of God to kind of stand up and bring this to the attention of our heart and our mind tonight and open up God's Word and find answers. I am finding that I am running into what I would call a classroom mentality when it comes to biblical things. And by that I mean, it's one thing to have a professor teach in a classroom. It's another thing to have an experienced guy who's done it teach something. And I'm finding that God's people, we know the Bible. I touched on this morning. We hear it. We do somewhat have it memorized principally. I'm not sure we have it memorized verbally. We kind of have this mentality that we know what the way things should be and how they should develop in our thoughts and how they should develop in our lives. But I'm finding when it comes down time to be nitty and gritty, when it comes down time for what we used to say, the rubber to meet the road, sometimes we're like a deer in headlights. Now, you folks have no idea what a deer is. A deer is a four-legged animal with a white bushy tail that, when fixed right, tastes great. Pastor, you eat Bambi? Oh, yeah. Have you ever shot Bambi? Oh, yeah. Pastor, sorry about that. I've told you before, I wasn't always a pastor. But I would still do it today as the pastor, so I'm not sure that makes much sense. When I was a kid, my dad came home and he handed me two whistles. And he said, go out there and put these on the front of your car. And I said, what are they? He said, they're deer repellent whistles. I said, what does that mean? It means when you're going down the road, the deer is going to hear this thing and they're not going to run into your car. I had never hit a deer till I put those things on my car. We would hit, and those dumb deer, you know, you come around the corner, and when the light hits them, they just freeze. That's where you get deer in a headlight. We were never allowed to hunt deer at night. Some states allow you to hunt deer at night where you take this big spotlight, and you're out in the field, and you're on the back of a truck, and we would go what they call deer spotting, and we would take that light, and we would find all those big bucks. But sometimes you could put the light on them and shoot them, because when you put the light on them, they just freeze. They just stand there. I'm finding that Christians are kind of like deer in headlights when it comes to applying and being doers of the Word of God. It's not that we don't know necessarily, it's not even that we don't desire it. It's just that we don't take the time to apply it. And one of the areas that we are suffering horribly right now has to deal in the area of our thoughts. Let me tell you something. No thought is innocent. No thought is without influence. If a thought comes that is negative and you dwell on it long enough, you will become negative in your behavior. If a thought comes that is sensual, then you entertain that thought, then you will become sensual in your behavior. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the devil understands, and I think does have some influence on our thoughts. Our own selfishness has influence on our thoughts. And our own sinfulness has influence on our thoughts. And you have got to learn what to do with your thoughts. Or you're never going to know growth in Christ. You're never going to know victory. You're never going to know confidence, not in your flesh, confidence in Christ. You're never going to know the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and it is the garrison your heart and your what, class? In your mind. And so it's imperative that we understand what to do with our thoughts and where they need to be subjected to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 is a unique passage of Scripture. If you were to study the context of the passage, you would understand that the Apostle Paul is having to defend his apostleship. He's having to vindicate himself. He didn't like to do this. He never liked to speak about himself, but he found himself forced to do it numerous times. Such is the case here in Corinth. Now, if you remember, Paul started this church. If you remember in 1 Corinthians, the church had tremendous problems, and Paul had to be aggressive in his letter to the church at Corinth. And he really gets in their face, and he confronts them about their carnal ways. We learn from 2 Corinthians that the word of God that Paul writes is effective, and it goes in and it influences them, it impacts them, it changes their perception. There's a humility to the word of God. There is a work of repentance. There's a work that God does. And later in 2 Corinthians, Paul is singing their praises. The relationship is being restored. But there are some still in the church that are divisive, and that they didn't humble themselves, and they still held animosity toward the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is kind of writing to them in this chapter, and it's in the midst of that context that the Apostle Paul helps us understand some things about reason and about pride and about selfishness. And he leads us to understand what to do with human reasoning. And by the way, all of us can be guilty of trumping God's word with human reason. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, it says that an unsaved person should not marry, or a saved person should not marry an unsaved person. Do you agree with that? But I meet people all the time, and they will say, "Pastor, let me give you some reasons why I'm going to do this." If you allow your imagination to become reasonable, you can pretty much reason your way in or out of anything you want. You know, when they were building the Tower of Babel, God himself said, "I'm going to go down there and I'm going to see what they're doing, and I'm going to destroy this thing, because if I allow this to continue, man will be able to do anything that he can imagine, anything he can reason." A lot of God's people are suffering and making horrible decisions because you are letting your human reasoning direct you. I got news for you. I have learned, not perfectly, not entirely, but I have come to an understanding that I cannot trust human reasoning. The only thing I can trust is, "Thus saith the Lord." Paul's going to talk to them about pride. Pride in our intellect. Pride that develops in the mind. And Satan will come, and you'll be amazed at how many of our thoughts can be twisted and wrapped around human pride. And we therefore make decisions not based on a humbleness before God, but we make decisions based on human pride. And then there's a selfishness component to this that Paul's getting ready to define here. And he talks about what we're to do with selfish thoughts. And by the way, most of our thoughts are selfish. The first thought in the morning, most of the time, you're going to be attacked with a selfish thought, and it will be something like this: "Don't get out of this bed." It's warm in here. Well, we don't have that problem in South Florida. It's comfortable in here. Don't get up. Don't read and pray. You did that yesterday. Take today off. You deserve it. And our thoughts, because of our sinful nature, are dominated with selfishness. You don't have to make them selfish. They are selfish. Praise God. When I got saved, we talked about this morning. There's the nature of Christ, the life of Christ, His very presence is in my life. And now I'm no longer under the dominion of sin. Therefore, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So how do I deal with human reasoning and human pride and human selfishness? I praise God, I can have the mind of Christ. Now, if you're going to have the mind of Christ, you must have the person of Christ. You cannot have God's mind and deny Jesus Christ. Pastor, my mind, I struggle with fear bad. My mind is so fearful. Pastor, all I know in my mind is sensuality. I can't get away from it. Pastor, all I know in my mind is this or that. And I'm beginning to realize the iniquity of my own mind. Where do I go? Hallelujah, you get led to the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's where you begin. So Paul here is going to come into an argument, and he's going to defend himself, and he's going to give us a direction. Now look in verse number 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the way, that's how you confront somebody. If you ever have to confront somebody, a brother or a sister, you should confront with humility and gentleness. Paul is confronting these folks. Now, they're not very meek and gentle, but he's going to be. I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. And he's saying, when I was with you, I had a humility, but I'm going to be bold right now. But I beseech you, or I beg you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. I mean, some of you need me to be bold, is what he's saying. Which think of us as if we walked according to the, what class? Flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now look this way a second. Paul's got a group of people who are coming against him in a ferociousness, in a fierceness that is absolutely driven by their flesh. Their human reasoning, their human pride, their human selfishness has all developed, and it's coming forth out of that sinful flesh. And what they are doing is they are accusing the Apostle Paul of living and reacting the same way. And so they are accusing him of not being spiritual, not being a saint, not being an apostle. And they're saying that he is acting in the flesh. And Paul's not going to get in a flesh against flesh battle. By the way, most churches that split in a negative way split flesh versus flesh. Most marriages that end up in divorce are because two people decided they were going to go at it in their sinful flesh. The reason a lot of times your child doesn't understand and you're not communicating or vice versa is because we tend to respond and confront flesh to flesh. The Bible says there is no good thing in our flesh. I just got to go give my 2 cents. You're wrong every time. The most dangerous thing you can do is give somebody 2 cents when you want to give them 2 cents. Man. Amen, Pastor. But it feels so good. But you will say the wrong thing. You will have the same spirit, or the wrong spirit, and there will be a divide and a wound that will hurt so deep, only the mercy, kindness, and grace of God could fix it. And so these people are coming at Paul in the flesh, and Paul says, wait a minute, I am a fleshly man. I mean, I'm capable of this, but I'm not going to respond to you in the flesh. Now he goes on and he says here in verse number 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Paul says, now there's a more powerful way for me to deal with you. I have weapons that are not like your weapons. See, your weapon with these folks was, you're slandering me. You're falsely accusing me. You're denying me. You're coming at me from a fleshly point of view. You're coming at me from a carnal mindset. You're coming to me from reasoning and pride and selfishness, and your weapons are based on your human flesh. But I've got news for you. I've got greater weapons that are able to respond mighty to the pulling down, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he goes on and he begins to declare what those weapons are able to do. Now watch in verse number 5. Casting down imaginations. That word imaginations is the word reasoning. Carnal weapons exalt and lift up human reasoning. Spiritual weapons cast down human reasoning. We don't like it if somebody looks down on our opinion, looks down on our thought process, looks down on our reasoning, makes us look stupid. But understand this. When it comes to the Word of God, your human reasoning needs to be put down. Did you catch that? You can reason all you want in and out of a situation, but if you lift it up, you will make a decision solely based on your sinful flesh. And when I make a decision solely based on my sinful flesh, I have made the wrong decision. Paul says, not only will my weapons cast down imaginations, they cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the, say it class, knowledge of God. Notice it didn't say God himself. He said it has the ability to cast down every high thing, every arrogant pride that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, if we want to know the knowledge of God, where do we look? In the Word of God. So here's where most people, Christian people, they're just getting annihilated. They're getting destroyed. Do you love God? Absolutely. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Absolutely. Do you love the Spirit of God? Absolutely. Do you love the things of God? I sure do. I'm in this situation, Pastor, and I don't know what to do. Well, here's what God's Word says. This is the knowledge of God. This is what I suggest that you do. Oh, that won't work. Or that doesn't fit my plan. No, I don't really see it that way. They hurt me first. I don't really understand. I mean, we love each other. I mean, if God didn't want me, God wouldn't have had this happen. And so our human flesh wants to exalt our pride against the knowledge of God. Now, our spiritual part, we would never dare exalt ourselves over God. But my friend, when you exalt your human pride over God's word, you've done it over God. In the beginning was the, and the was with God, and the was God. So when I exalt my pride over the knowledge of God, over the word of God, in essence, I've exalted myself over God himself. This book is absolute truth. It is alive. It is the word of God. And then Paul says, not only am I casting down, these weapons casting down reasoning, but they're casting down human pride. And then verse number 5, at the end of that, it says, and bringing into captivity every what, class? Every thought. Every thought. To the, say those last three words, obedience of Christ. So Paul says, you guys, your thoughts are just running rampant and free, and they're running everywhere. They're running in your reason. They're running in your pride. They're running in your selfishness, and it's like they're in a free reign. And the weapon you're using against me is a carnal weapon, but the weapon that I have is going to take every thought and arrest it, and force it into the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, this is where we are getting destroyed. This is where, when it gets nitty gritty and the rubber meets the road, this is the part we're missing out on. We do not know how to take every thought and arrest it and grab it and bring it to the authority and the obedience of Jesus Christ. So, we run with our own thoughts. So if a man gets a thought that he can do something, he just in his flesh, it feels good, it reasons, it lifts him up, it pleases him. And so we're just running with our thoughts. Not every thought you get is from God. Not every thought that you think is founded on the word of God. Well, they cheated on me, she said, so I'm going to go cheat on him. Okay, but you're going to damn your soul. You're going to destroy any righteousness. You're going to absolutely trample the word of God. But that's what you're going to do. Well, you know, I don't understand how God could want 10%, I mean, that's just so much money. I'm just not going to do that. It doesn't make sense. You know, I wish that I got paid every time I heard it doesn't make sense. I would drive one of those Bugattis. Is that what that's called? Yeah. Because I sit down and I tell people, now this is what God, Pastor, that just doesn't make sense. Cha-ching. That just doesn't make, cha-ching. It doesn't make, cha-ching. Doesn't make sense. Let me tell you something. I guess in some facet, it is okay that God's word may not make immediate sense to your brain, but if you know Jesus Christ, it should always make sense to your spirit. If it's that void to you, you need to see if you're even saved. And so Paul says, now I've got these weapons. Now what would be Paul's weapons? Well, man, you read the Bible and you talk about weapons. We've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've got the name of Jesus, which is a strong tower. We've got prayer. We've got the leadership of the Spirit of God. We've got all kinds of spiritual weapons that Jesus has made possible in our arsenal. He's given us all of these things. And these things are what we are to use to address human reasoning, to address human pride, and to address human selfishness. Those things need to run through the Word of God. They need to run through our prayer. They need to run through the leadership of the Spirit of God. They need to run through godly counsel. They need to run through the peace of God. They need to run through faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And you as a believer have got to practice this. Now, here's the problem. It takes time. It takes time. You can't get up enough time to take a shower and eat a piece of toast and run out the door and think you're going to be guarded. You can't be impulsive and make decisions without praying. You can't just live by the seat of your pants and think that somehow spiritual rightness is going to be part of our lives. It takes hard work. It has to be developed. Another thing, you've got to come to a position where you realize that nothing about my sinful nature is trustworthy. I am afraid to make decisions apart from the leadership of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid to make decisions apart from the Word of God. If I know the Word of God says one thing, and I'm going to cognitively decide to absolutely go a different direction, my friend, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. And so Paul says, you've got to learn how to bring that mind, bring that reason, and bring that pride, and bring it into the captivity of the Word of God, the weapons of God, and therefore bringing those into the obedience of Jesus Christ. I know that many times you and I will be faced with things when the decision as far as obeying Christ seems like the wrong decision. Seems like we're not going to make it. We're not going to survive it. When it seems like it's just not humanly possible. Well, I got news for you. Our God is the God-man. He's all man, but he's all God. And there's nothing impossible with him. There's nothing too hard for him. He's all-knowing. Every decision you got to make tomorrow, he already knows about. He knows it. He's there. He knows it before we do. But God's people, it's like there's this disconnect. We know it, but we're not applying it. To applying it means I got to be still and know that he's God. I got to be quiet so I can hear the still small voice. I've got to be submitted to the Word of God. I've got to be submitted to the leadership. I got to have the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. And I've got to take my reasoning and I got to cast it down. I got to take my pride and it's got to be cast down. And I got to take my selfishness. It's got to be arrested, because the only thing that's going to mean anything to us is the obedience to Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. The most miserable people I know are Christians who try to live life in the flesh. So meager, so without power, so discouraging, so despicable. But when you begin to live life in the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit of God, and you understand that sinful part of us, and we understand the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but they've got power and authority. My friend, life begins to transform. I don't know about you, but I thought that Jesus promised us victorious Christian life. It doesn't mean life will be easy. You know, the greatest victories that are celebrated are usually at the winning of the greatest battles. But I don't want us to be a church that suffers defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. I want us to be a people who recognize that our God is all-powerful. Amen? So you better take those thoughts. You better take that reasoning. You better take that pride. And it's got to be cast down under the authority of the Word of God, brought to the position of the obedience of Jesus Christ. And it takes concentration. Hallelujah. That's why he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When you wake up, you ought to ask God for the mind of Christ, being in the word in the mind of Christ. Then when he goes to Philippians and he says that the peace of God will garrison your heart and your mind. Listen, that's real. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. Pastor, I'm so afraid I don't want to get on the airplane. Well, if it's Malaysia Air, I guess you don't want to get on there, do you? Pastor, we're gonna lose our business and we got all of this, and I just don't know how we're gonna make it. I stay up all night worrying, I can't sleep, and we're doing this and we're doing all of this. My friends, Jesus Christ satisfies. Satisfies. You gotta be saved to be able to have the mind of Christ. And then you submit to the authority of Christ. You cast down that human reasoning. You cast down that human pride. You cast down that selfishness. And you let Jesus Christ be exalted. And you submit to his obedience. And I'm telling you, you'll have his blessing. And God's people said, all right, let's pray.